this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And today I am talking with Harriet Wheatley Huechefort. Harriet, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And where are you?
I'm in Paris.
What's it like to be an American in Paris?
It's still fabulous, and it's always fabulous.
When you say still fabulous, have you been there for a while?
Yes, I've been here for, are you ready for this? 40 years.
I'm sitting down. Wow. What's changed the most in Paris over 40 years?
I think, for example, there are a lot more chain stores than there used to be. But fortunately, there are still all these small boutiques that we Americans all love. You know, your cheese store, your wine store. That hasn't changed, which is really, really nice.
They still have the neighborhood shop.
Yes, exactly.
I was in Paris a couple of weeks ago, and that's what I noticed, too. That's very, very nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. And also the fact that things happen in your neighborhood. For example, I live over in the east of Paris. You know, we just go up the street, and within 5 minutes from where I live, I have my pâtisserie, and I have my cheese shop, and I have the meat shop, and I have the fruit and vegetable shop. And that's so, so fabulous, no matter where you are in Paris.
Would you say your neighborhood is kind of that, has this feel of a small village?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's a small, small village, and people, you know, kind of nod to each other, and you get to know people, and it's a nice feel about that. Yeah, I think Paris is composed, really, of small villages.
And what brought you to France?
Do you have a few hours here? No.
Just notes.
Okay, I'll try to make it brief. I grew up in the Midwest in a very small town, in a state that most people fly over, which is Iowa. And I had a family member who was a French professor. And from, you know, about the time I was 8 years old, I heard about France, you know, and how wonderful France was. And my goal in life from the age of eight was to go to this marvelous place. So when I graduated from the University of Michigan, I bought a one-way ticket.
A one-way ticket to France?
Actually, I bought the one-way ticket, I stayed for a year, and I don't know, you're probably too young to remember the May 1968 riots and demonstrations in the streets, but I was there for the, you know, cobblestone throwing and tear gas and the whole thing, and I got out just as they closed the airport. I went back to the States. I did my graduate degree at Northwestern, and then I bought another one-way ticket, and I came back again, and this time I met Philippe, and we got married, and that was the end of it. I didn't return to the States ever to live, and I always tell people I didn't come to France to get a French husband, because if you do that, of course, you won't find one.
When you first got here, when you were first here or in the beginning, you worked as a journalist, right?
This is before the European Union. So it was very, very easy to get jobs. And I, you know, you didn't have to go through this rigmarole because it was unusual to find an English-speaking person around who could do a job. So, I got to work in the news bureau of the Westinghouse Broadcasting Company, my very first job. And that was really fun and exciting and a great opportunity. It's the reason I went back to graduate school, too, in journalism.
Now, you write books.
Yes.
I've written, recently published, a book, Joie de Vivre.
Yes.
What is Joie de Vivre about?
Okay. Well, Joie de Vivre, of course, means the joy of living. Can I just backtrack and say that this is my third book, and that my first two were born from different ideas. The first one was French Toast dealt with the frustrations of not understanding French culture. You know, I was kind of in it. I thought I was totally assimilated, but then I realized that there were a lot of things I didn't understand. And so that's what I put them all down, and that was French Toast. And then French Fried was an exploration of French cuisine and the holy trinity of bread, wine, and cheese, which was really a lot of fun. But this third book was born out of the desire to see if the French are really as pessimistic as their newspapers and TV programs make them seem to be. You know, I don't know if you watch French TV news.
Oh, yes, I do.
Just want to end up shooting yourself at the end of it, don't you?
Yes, it's gotten kind of a little bit more, yeah, pessimistic.
Pessimistic, negative, depressing. You know, you would think that nothing good is happening in this country. So I was sitting there one day and I said, oh, no, this is the country that, you know, where did the expression joie de vivre come from? It came from France. So there's something wrong here. So my whole book was trying to find out, you know, if this joie de vivre, what it is, and is it still around?
So is it still around?
Yes, it is. And the funny thing I found is that, in fact, all the polls show that the French are very, it's true, depressed when it comes to what I call, you know, public life, when it comes to things, you know, for example, the economy, unemployment, you know, they're worried about the future, etc. But when it comes to their private lives, the same polls show that they are incredibly satisfied, very happy. So there's this huge dichotomy between the two. And so in the book, I focused on what it is, you know, what they're happy about.
What are they happy about?
Well, you know, I think the French put this huge focus on their families, you know, that they work to live, but they don't live to work, which is, I think, I hate to say it, but I think it's a big difference between France and the States. I think the French have worked it out so that they can have lifestyles in which they can make family come first.
I think it's interesting because we talk about the French being very pessimistic, but they have a very high birth rate. One of the highest in Europe and one of the highest in the industrialized world. And I do think that that's an interesting bit of a contradiction, but I do think you're right.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's also this thing about French women, you know. French women don't say, oh, let me see, am I going to do my career until I'm 40 and then have a kid kind of thing, you know. Are you kidding? You know, the minute they get married or before, they just have children because the two just go together. There's never a question of, oh, one or the other kind of thing, which I think that we still in the States and certainly in countries like Germany, it's still a choice.
Yeah, no, I think that's true that it is. It's, you can, a French woman can have a career and children, three or four, and it's not really an issue. So you kind of live in France. I mean, I saw a comment that you made because you don't want to be bored.
I'm never bored in France, and I'm somebody who could get bored easily, but, you know, I've never been bored in France. One of the reasons, I think, is that people are always yelling and screaming and gesticulating and, you know, especially in Paris. And I'm always wondering what they're going on about kind of thing, you know. But that's another thing, a point I made in my book, Le Joie de Vivre. In fact, I have a whole chapter on it. Oh, it's called Having Fun While You Disagree. And I think that's really French, you know. I think they like a controversy. And they feel, for example, if you go to a French dinner party and everybody's being polite and agreeing with each other, oh, yes, I think you're right, but that's a really boring dinner party. I mean, I think they like to just, but they remain friends. And that's something I think in the States, when we get into it at the level they get into it, you might lose a few friendships along the way. And they seem to strike this balance, you know, they can just get so heated. But then it's over. They say, oh, let's have a glass of wine, you know.
Going back to your first book, what were some of the things, going back to French toast, what were some of the things that you found perplexing about the French culture?
The thing that immediately comes to mind, at that time my children were young and they were in French. I put them in French schools. We put them in French schools. I was really very puzzled by the way teachers taught the students, the way they looked at them, you know. In the States, they were much more indulgent. Oh, yes, Johnny, that's good, Johnny. You'll do even better tomorrow kind of thing, you know. Whereas in France, they would say, that is just lousy, you know.
You know, that's something I've noticed, too. That's something, I think it seems to be changing slowly. It seems to be, because I was, you know, I had heard that, too. And it seems to be, what I kind of get the impression I get, it's still kind of there, but it does seem to slowly be changing. I think the French not sugarcoat anything, and I think that's a big difference between France and America. The French do not sugarcoat. If somebody does something horrible, they tell you.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's it. And even if it's changing in the schools, still, any American coming into a French school is in for a huge shock because they don't sugarcoat.
But I got my driver's license here. I don't know if you went through that process. And it was always, oh, you shouldn't do that. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. No. It was just, when I was finished, I was so distraught. You know, it's like, Jesus.
My sons went all the way through the French schools, including through that grueling prépa thing, you know about that.
Yeah, I don't. What's that?
The elite of the nation, you know, you get your baccalaureate, and then you could go to the university. Anybody who's got his baccalaureate, his school-leaving degree, can go to university. But then there's a parallel system, which is what they call the classe préparatoire, which prepare you for what they call the grandes écoles. This is the equivalent of Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And it's another track. And it's very grueling. And they take these kids at a very young age and they put them in these classes préparatoires. And they work for 2 or 3 years preparing exams to get into those schools. And it's absolutely grueling. And they are never encouraged. I mean, it's just cutthroat.
Yeah, it is cutthroat. And I think that's the other thing is in France, it's all about exams.
All about exams. And it's all about the school you went to.
You know, I agree that I've heard that too, that it's very important where you go with it. It's the kind of the, I think France, it's very much about networks and who you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I more so, and I think that makes it very difficult for an expat is because you don't have that.
It's also about social class. I don't know if you ever noticed, but when you're in a group of French people, they're always kind of, you know, checking each other out. And they can tell who someone is by the way the person speaks. If the person is educated, if he's had a good education, you can tell by the way they formulate their phrases, by the words they use, etc. So it's this huge game, you know, of kind of checking people out in a way that you don't do in the States as much.
So after 40 years in France, if somebody wanted to move to France, what would you suggest? What would be some suggestions you would have?
As far as knowing the language, I would say, yes, that's really important because you will appreciate the French in France more if you speak some of the language, definitely. And the other thing I'd say is take the French as they are and don't expect them to be like you. I think people are very, you know, they kind of come and they say, oh, aren't they funny or weird or strange? But, you know, you're in their place.
In an interview, you kind of said that. Take the French for who they are.
Exactly. You know, why are you expecting them to be like you? I mean, if you want to eat the way you eat at home or you know, have people react to you the way they react at home, stay home.
Would you ever say when you first got here you had culture shock?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I had so much culture shock. That was why I wrote French Toast. I just wrote down everything that I had culture shock about, you know, basically. Trying to think of some examples. Well, I told you the example about putting my kids in French schools, you know. People not smiling at me, you know. Now, that's another point. When I say that people should just take the French as they are, the French don't have this universal smile. They don't feel any need that, you know, to smile at people they don't know. And we Americans interpret that as being rude or hating us or something, but that's not it. It's just that they don't have that same. And also, this is a country where they've been invaded and had wars on their soil and had enemies. And you can't discard that totally. You know, they like to know who they're talking to.
I find the French to be much more private.
Absolutely. They have their own jardin secret, you know, their own secret garden, as they say. And I think that's nice in a way. I mean, you know, we don't have to know everything about everyone else, kind of.
When you first got here, how was your French?
It wasn't that good. I'd only taken 2 years of high school French, and then I passed out of that college exam where you're supposed to take a language. But then when I got here, I knew enough to say bonjour and ça va. And then I learned something, which was that Parisians especially, or I guess all French, that when they pause in a sentence, they say, ah bon? You know, like, oh, really? And so I would do that, you know, and the French person who got me at the airport, he was rattling away, and when he would pause for breath, I would go, ah bon? And he thought I spoke French, so I, you know, I could fake that one for a long time. But it was really good because then he would speak French at me. And I had to learn.
Is there anything you miss from the U.S.?
Oh, well, I miss the simplicity of life, of course. I mean, everything's just so easy.
Do you attribute that to the country or to the fact that it's your native culture?
It's a mix of both, sure. But I think it's the country. I think we like to make things easy for people in the States, whether it's a commercial transaction or whether it's, you know, you just met somebody. It's such a big country that we can't get complicated about, you know. In France, it's a smaller country and people know each other or they know each other's family or there might be a connection, etc.
I thought about that because it's much more complicated. France, to rent an apartment, it's just, oh, my God, you thought you were, you know, giving away your firstborn or something is just...
Yeah, exactly.
The pay slips and the this and the that, and then it has to be okayed by somebody. It's really easy.
Oh, yeah. Everything's complicated. Try setting up a business or, you know, something like that.
Well, I think, Harriet, it's been very nice talking with you.
It's been lovely speaking with you, Jeff, and thank you so much for your interest.